As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Moon Day, August the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're most certainly in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. It says the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark Become Vocal Local to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in area code 512-904-8014. To join me live on air and from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all carrying the broadcast. And thank you for doing so. Our calling number remains 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. Precious Metals Choppy, following the Jackson Hole Summit, QE3, not now. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. Anyway, good night, Irene. Global economic situation stagnates, consumerism wanes, all that in the news basket for this morning. Of course, the New World Order of Henry St. Simon continues, physiology of social classes as we look further into positivism. In the second hour, of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for this morning. Things are looking a little gloomy out there. But active trading as of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But an hour ago, found gold trading off $14.10 at $1,815 an ounce. That's a troy ounce. The silver market this morning off 40 cents at $41.10. Spot market prices there. Platinum off $5 at $18.34. Palladium flat is what they showed me at 9 a.m. at $756. But at $18.15, even your gold was up. Year to year, $576.90 for a 46.60% return on your investment. Of course, there's going to be lots of action in the marketplace today. Again, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, gold's the lows and the highs were 18.10.40. Probably going to go below that this morning. 18.28.90 for a high. We'll see where it settles. London gold fix this morning wasn't shown. The SPDR gold shares over the weekend, they claim to have dropped 1.521 metric tons of gold, and this morning they show holding 1,230.80 metric tons, valued on these prices at $70.7 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 135 at 11,285. The NASDAQ closed up 60 at 2480. And the S&P 500 closed up 18 at 1,177. Crude oil this morning up $1.63 at $87 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered as they are in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning reportedly flat at 73.72. Of course, our foreign exchange rates are impacted by any change in the U.S. dollar index, or this morning we find the Canadian loonie up 69 basis points at $1.02. The Mexican peso up 63 basis points, now on the high side of the Rio Grande at 8 cents again. The euro up 20 basis points at $1.45, and that British pound $1.64 up 24 basis points. Be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Monday, August the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's get back into our market report and close that out for this morning. Again, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Lots of action expected for today. Off $14.10 at $1,815 an ounce. Silver off 40 cents at $41.10. Platinum up $5 at $18.34. And palladium showed flat at $7.56. Again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 135. The NASDAQ up 60, closing out at 2480 as the storms advanced on New York. The S&P 500 closed up 18 at 1,177. Crude oil this morning up $1.63 at $87, and the U.S. dollar index flat at 73.72. The big news in the foreign exchange rates, of course, is this continuing slam that is being applied to the Swiss franc this morning, off 146 basis points, now exchanging against the U.S. dollar at $1.22. The bond market this morning, the yield on the two-year treasuries, this is your bonded indebtedness, is at 0.21%, coming up just a little bit there. The 10-year yield at 2.28 and the 30 at 3.63. Of course, anytime there's a change in the 10-year, there's a change in the mortgage market, where this morning we find on the national average in the 15-year fixed rate mortgages moving down from 3.63% strongly to 3.45%. The 30-year moves down from 4.52% a month ago to 4.2%. 3.28 this morning. Your prime rate, of course, locked in stone at 3.25%. And your gold to silver ratio, it's going to take you 44.16 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold this morning in the Econo Day calendar. A couple of items pending right up here. We've got the personal income and outlays and the pending home sales tomorrow. The Red Book, the ICSC Goldman store sales will be out. Case-Shiller home price index will be out. Consumer confidence, State Street investor confidence index. A lot of confidence tomorrow. We'll have to look at those confidence reports and see if anybody has confidence besides them. The mortgage bankers purchase apps will be out on Wednesday. The Challenger job cut and the ADP employment reports will be out on Wednesday, big day Wednesday. Of course, on Thursday, we'll get the motor vehicle sales, the Monster Employment Index, jobless claims, and on Friday, the employment situation. So we're looking at a pretty busy week in the economic calendar for this week. The personal income and outlays, here's the report. In July, the consumer made a nice comeback in terms of income growth and spending. Wow. Dude, comeback kid. He's out there. He's a shopping till he dropping, right? Anyway, in terms of income growth and spending, well, we'll have to see how that one rolls out in the next couple of days. The PCE for inflation, however, was on the warm side. Personal income in July rose a moderately healthy 0.3%. Did you get a raise? Did they tell you that you're going to bump up from 30 hours a week to 31? Anyway, moderate healthy rise after rising to 0.2% in June. The July advance matched the consensus for a 0.3% increase. Wages and salaries grew a little more robust, 0.4%. Let's see, wages and salaries up 0.4%. So you were making $1 an hour. Now you're making $1.04. I guess that's a good deal. Anyway, consumer spending rebounded a sharp 0.8%, less than 1%. Yeah. I'll take two of those Krispy Kremes, please. Well, that would be a lot more than a 0.8%. The latest number came in significantly higher than expected and so on. On the inflation front, the headline, the PCE price index jumped 0.4%. Year-on-year headline prices are up 2.8%, and so it goes. Anyway, that's off the Econo Day calendar. Here's another one, the pending home sales index. The turmoil over the federal deficit ceiling debate and the drop in 401k balances as stocks dropped in July carried over to contract signings for existing home sales. Pending home sales declined 1.3% in July after a 2.4% jump the prior month. Signings are nonetheless above year-ago levels, so people are in the bank signing up. Well, let's run through a little bit of news. U.S. solar product exports rose 83% last year on sales to China. You would think that this would be a great article. It looks a little bit specious, like they're reaching. This written by Christopher Martin, very brief report for Bloomberg. U.S. exports of solar products climbed 83% last year to $5.63 billion. Wow. Sales of what? Solar panels? No. Solar products. As increasing production in China drove up sales of manufacturing equipment and raw materials, according to the Solar Industries Association. Polysilicon producers, including MEMC Electronics Materials and Hemlock Semiconductor, exported $2.52 billion of the basic material used to make solar cells. Now, see, we didn't make the solar cells. We just made the basic material. And then we send it over to China. And then all of the Chinese employees make the solar cells. And then they put them into panels. And then they send them back to the United States and elsewhere. Well, that's the way that went. Materials used to make solar cells and exports of capital equipment. Capital equipment, you know, like pliers, things like that, according to a report released today by the Washington-based trade group. Well, somehow or another, I can't quite make this $2.452 billion and the $1.4 billion add up to $5.63. That's just new math, I guess. They must have broken their calculator. Let's go on. This is a sad story here, really. BP spill victims win judges' approval to seek punitive damages. Boy, that sounds like a great headline, doesn't it? Margaret Cronin-Fisk and Alan Johnson Jr. collaboratively writing this one for Bloomberg. Businesses and individuals suing BP and other companies involved in the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil catastrophe want a federal judge's approval to seek punitive damages in pursuing claims of economic and environmental losses. Say anything in here about health care. Anyway, BP and the other companies claimed the U.S. Oil Pollution Act prevented plaintiffs from collecting their punitive damages. U.S. District Judge Carl Barbier in New Orleans ruled yesterday that the statute is silent as to the availability of punitive damages, and plaintiffs can pursue such claims under maritime law. The OPA does not displace general maritime law claims. Admiralty, huh? For those plaintiffs who would have been able to bring such claims prior to OPA's enactment, Barbier said, quote, these plaintiffs assert plausible claims for punitive damages against responsible and non-responsible parties. Barbier also allowed boat owners to go forward with lawsuits under federal oil pollution law, contending that their vessels were damaged. Of course, we don't talk about their vessels being damaged. No, it's just their boat vessels been damaged. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait for their health care. The judge also let companies proceed with claims over revenue lost. All right, profit good, loss bad, broken boats. But what about the people? Barbier dismissed economic loss claims by individuals and businesses under state law. So, screw the people. Man, let's get on with the business. 100,000 claims. The Macondo well blowout and the explosion that followed killed 11 workers and set off the worst offshore oil spill in U.S. history. We'll be right back. Lots more here.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans. The program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
Hey, America, it's your old friend W here. Do not tune into True Frequency Radio with Chris and Sherry every Saturday at 10 p.m. Central here on Oracle Broadcasting. Otherwise, the terrorists win.
And so they're working their way through 100,000 claims down there in the Gulf, you know, as the courts are all backlogged. The Macondo well blowout and the explosion, blah, blah, blah. Worst offshore oil spill. Oil spill? They're stuck on that one. The accident and spill? No, it wasn't a spill. Led to hundreds of lawsuits against London-based BP and its partner and contractors. Don't talk about Nalco. Don't talk about Transocean. Don't talk about British Petroleum's partner in crime, Mr. Sutherland and Goldman Sachs. No, don't talk about Halliburton. Anyway, there are in excess of 100,000 claims in the complaint affected by yesterday's ruling, the judge said. Well, that's a lot. The lawsuit's also named as defendants. Now they're going to get to it. Transocean, the Switzerland-based owner and the operator of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig that exploded, Houston-based Halliburton, which was responsible for cementing services, Cameron International, the blowout preventers, and Anadarko Petroleum. Anyway, they mentioned it. We're extremely pleased with the ruling, said Steve Herman, a plaintiff's attorney, in a phone interview. The court agreed with us on all major points. So I guess there's some bright lining there in that dark cloud. Anyway, let's go a little further. This is kind of a dorky article. Perry takes lead among Republican candidates in a Gallup poll. John McCormick writing, Texas Governor Rick Perry. RP, like Ron Paul, Rick Perry. It's almost the same number of letters, too, short by one. It moves ahead of his Republican rivals seeking the party's presidential nomination less than 2 weeks after he entered the race, a Gallup poll shows. Well, Perry's a strong contender among key Republican subgroups, Gallup stated in a report of his findings. Older Republicans and those living in the South show especially strong support for him at or near 40%. Conservative Republicans strongly favor Perry over Romney, but both liberal and moderate Republicans support the two about equally. Perry's support is also above the average among the religious Republicans. That's right. That's right, Council for National Policy. All those Christian Zionists, they like it when Perry talks to God. Anyway, let's go on from there. Congress deficit panel should go big, go bold on savings, Warner says. Yes, go big, go bold. Catherine Dodge, Juliana Goldman writing this one for Bloomberg. Democratic Senator Mark Warner, one of the gang of six. Talk about insurgents that sought a bipartisan deal on U.S. debt reduction, urged members of both parties on deficit super committee to go big, go bold with their savings. Wow. I wonder if he figured that one out on his own. Drill, baby, drill. There you go. Slogans, jingoism. Even if the super committee, this is supposed to be the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. I don't know why everybody keeps giving me these new appellations. But anyway, even if the super committee knocks another $1.5 trillion off our debt, that's still not going to be enough, said Warner, Mark Warner, that is, on Bloomberg Television Political Capital with Al Hunt this weekend, unless we can also take on the issue of entitlement reform and tax reform to generate revenue. I don't think we're going to get there, he said. Entitlement reform. Tax reform. They didn't say anything about bringing back all of the military from the 130 countries that were deployed in around the world, the 700 and some military bases. Didn't say anything about that. Didn't say anything about scaling down the defense contracts. Didn't say anything about that. But we will go after entitlement reform and tax reform, right? Warner of Virginia said the government has exhausted traditional tools. Well, oh my God, we're in trouble now. Congress has the fiscal toolbox, and they've exhausted their tools. Of course, Benjamin Shalom Bernanke, he's exhausted all of his tools over there in the monetary policy bracket, so I guess we're just running on empty. What can you say? Big banks bet crude oil prices would fall in 2008. Run-up leaked data shows. Kind of an old news article here. Matthew Lessing and Celia Brush. They work for Bloomberg. Just before crude oil hit its record high in mid-2008, 15 of the world's largest bankers were betting the prices would fall, according to private trading data released by U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie, they've been doing that all the time. They're speculating this morning, too. The net positions of the banks undermine arguments made by Sanders that speculative trades on Wall Street drove the oil prices in 2008. Could I tell you, Bernie, they drove the oil prices in 2007, and 2006, and 2005. They're going to do it in 2010, 2011, and 2012, too. Quote, if you believe the banks are jerking around the market and the market is going the way they were trading, the price should have been lower, said Pierron. Pierron. Craig Pierron. He's the director of Global Energy Management Institute at the University of Houston. He says the price should have been lower. Well, we'd all like to see the price lower. But anyway, Sanders of the Vermont Independent and other supporters of curbs on speculation have said that the CFTC documents demonstrate the need for the agency to complete its rule on so-called position limits. And it goes on. They close this thing out with a pretty interesting chart as well, but I'll skip that. Sanders has suggested that he acted in part to counter the CFTC's assertion when it released its January proposal that it needed more data on the private over-the-counter swaps to implement position limits on contracts that settle outside of the current month. That's all a bunch of economic technobabble. But nevertheless, it's happening, and it's happening now. Sanders' office said the data he released included both exchange-traded and over-the-counter transactions. Quote, it's my understanding that the CFTC is still claiming that it cannot impose strict speculation limits because it does not have enough information, Sanders said in the August 22nd letter to Gensler, and that, Sanders said, is laughable. Well, a lot of people are saying that the CFTC is violating law, and some people are trying to look into more of the CFTC. Maybe they will slap them or something. Gazprom, talk about China, then Russia. It's all something kind of prom. Everything's a prom of some sort or another. A bunch of queens dancing. Gazprom defends its oil link, says gas customers made mistakes. That's right. They made mistakes. They made mistakes by dealing with the Soviets. Anna Shira Ekvevskaya. Honey, change your name. It's real simple. Just pop in, switch that around to Anna Smith, and we'll all love you more for it. OAO Gazprom said it isn't responsible for its customers' strategic mistakes, signaling Russia's gas export monopoly may not compromise in a pricing dispute with European utilities. See, they're shutting off all their nuclear power plants, and now they're going to be more dependent on natural gas. And as a result, the cost of utilities are going to skyrocket in Europe. In 2010, strategic mistakes were made in assessing the market outlook with hopes for very cheap gas and further collapse of spot prices. I would say that was a relatively strategic mistake, wouldn't you? Europe depends on Gazprom for about a quarter of its gas, most of which is shipped through pipelines under long-term contracts, and Germany is the exporter's biggest market on the continent. Now, of course, Adolf would have had it different. He was looking at the gas and oil. He was looking at a railroad train that went all the way over to Bahrain. Kuwait, well, they didn't want him to build the railroad too easy, you know. Europe depends on Gazprom for about a quarter of its gas, most of which is shipped through pipelines. Importers are seeking a very big discount, Comlev said. Declining to discuss specific customers are the arbitration. Well, there's that article. We'll be right back.
looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And you're probably starting to get the idea that there wasn't just a whole lot in the offering of public notice this morning news-wise. I'm just going to hit some of the high points and skim right over these articles and put it all behind us for this morning and get on to more intelligent things. But here was another one. Libyan rebels advance on Sirte amid protests. Christopher Stephen and Marion Pham collaboratively writing this one. Libyan rebels push toward Muammar Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte amid protests over the opposition National Transitional Council's planned appointment of former members of his security forces. So welcome your new boss, the same as your old boss. It's just that now you'll have a central bank. You'll no longer be able to back up your stuff with gold, and your standard of living is going to go into the toilet. Anyway, they show a real dandy picture here of a Libyan rebels. Got a guy in the back of the truck, a couple of guys in the back of the truck. One of them's feeding the rounds. The other one's running an anti-aircraft gun mounted in the back of his pickup truck. I wonder where do we get those anti-aircraft guns anyway? You know, I got a pickup truck out in the driveway. I've got the right to keep and bear arms. Surely I should be able to have an anti-aircraft gun mounted in the back of my pickup truck. You know, let's go around, you know. As the anti-Gaddafi forces waited for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization to bomb Scud missile sites. Maybe you like that, you know. You pick up the cell phone, one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy. Hey, guys, NATO, would you mind bombing a few missile sites for us? Anyway, so they could move towards CERT. About 500 protesters in the rebel-head city of Misrata yesterday chanted, "The blood of the martyrs!" Would be betrayed by the expected appointment of former Army General Albarani Sikal as the head of security in the capital. Sikal, or something like that, is with Gaddafi, said the president of the Misrata Council, Sheikh Khalifa Zuawi. But he's popular with the ladies. Not long ago, he was using troops to shell people in Misrata. Anyway, it just gets worse from there. Of course, you know, you got to expect it, but NATO targets 20 surface-to-air missile canisters and 2 surface-to-air missile systems in CERT overnight, as well as 5 multiple rocket launchers in the Rosslyn-Off, home to one of Libya's biggest refineries, NATO said in a statement. Fears clashes have erupted, and so on and so forth. Domestic concerns, well, you know, after we go in there and we bomb the hell out of their water system, and then bombed the hell out of the factory that they made these incredibly huge, like 7-foot diameter, 8-foot diameter, pre-stressed concrete water pipes for transporting this water from this million years old underground aquifer, the best water in the planet. Anyway, after we go through all of that, guess what? Well, the United Nations Children Fund said it expected to deliver more than 110,000 bottles of water to Tripoli by yesterday. Well, stupid is as stupid does, and I wonder if all of those 110,000 plastic bottles are going to wind up out in the middle of the ocean on the floating toxic plastic soup island. Good night, Irene. Yeah, I was watching over the weekend. Sure looked like it was going to go the wrong way on Friday, but over the weekend it lost its enthusiasm. Hurricane Irene's estimated U.S. cost for insurers dropped to $2.6 billion. Let's cover this one from the financial side. Noah Buhayer, writing for Bloomberg, Hurricane Irene's estimated cost to insurers fell about $2.6 billion in the U.S. Of course, you know, cat bonds are a big deal here. The insurance companies take quite the stab, and they're in a relatively precarious position these days. But fortunately, the estimated cost to insurers fell to about $2.6 billion in the U.S. as a storm lost strength en route to New York, according to Kinetic Analysis Corporation, a firm that predicts the effects of a disaster, or as Rob Chowder likes to say, catastrophes. That compares with a projection last week from the Silver Spring, Maryland-based company of as much as $14 billion. I would say that's quite a downplay, wouldn't you? From $14 billion to $2.6 billion. Total economic losses, including those that aren't insured, may top $7 billion. Insurers may get off pretty easy, said Charles Watson, Kinetic's research and development director, in a phone interview from Savannah, Georgia. Quote, this one's not the straw that broke the camel's back. So I guess if there's a silver lining in this otherwise black cloud, it's that the damage from the storm was less than anticipated. Of course, people bet on that. They take out these cat bonds. It's like going to the Sands Casino or something, and they bet on it. Estimates of losses declined as Irene weakened from a hurricane to a tropical storm. Insurers may face losses of $200 million to $400 million in North and South Carolina, according to a risk modeling firm, EQECAT, or EQECAT. That's less than the $1.4 billion insured losses North Carolina sustained from Hurricane Floyd in 1999. So once again, good night, Irene. Let's go to the next one. Central bankers urge governments on expansion. There's a real problem here. These guys have a real problem here. All right. They don't know what to do. Janine Aversa and Simon Kennedy writing this one. New news for Bloomberg. Central bankers gathered at an annual retreat in Jackson Hole, and then Bernanke opened his pie hole, and things went south from there. Anyway, this weekend had a message for political leaders. Monetary policy alone can't keep the global expansion going. Of course, we keep waiting for that global expansion to begin, but as we can see now, it's been confirmed. As we said before, you take this little balance scale of the global economy, and in the left-hand pan of our balance scale, you put in the Federal Reserve. You put in the monetary policy. Those are all the tools they have. We showed you where to go on the internet on Friday to pick that up for yourself. They only have certain tools in their toolbox. Well, Dorothy, on the right-hand side of the balance scale is Congress and their fiscal policy. And wouldn't you know it, they don't have any tools over there either, so they're fresh out of luck. Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke urged the adoption of, quote, good, proactive housing policies, close quote, to reverse the depressed U.S. real estate market, and warned lawmakers to avoid steps that may hurt short-term growth. Oh, all right. Well, let's go after Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and return the money that they have stolen from the American people. Let's see what we can do about improving the condition of the chain of title in all those properties that have been infected with this toxic slime. All right. Most of the economic policies that support robust economic growth in the long run are outside of the province of the central bank. They have no tools. They have no tools. Bernanke said at the annual conference of policymakers and economists sponsored by the Kansas City Fed, the call to arms, wow, it's pretty strong language there. The call to arms ended a month in which the Fed and the European Central Bank raced to shield their economies from fiscal tightening and strengthen a world economy that is losing momentum. You can also see that fizzles out. Turns out to be a dud. Anyway, reports this week may underscore the challenges faced by policymakers. U.S. payroll growth probably slowed in August, and confidence in Europe's economy fell to its lowest since April of 2010. Economists forecast Fed policymakers will meet for 2 days in September instead of one so they can discuss options for spurring growth. Well, you were looking for something out of Jackson Hole. Yeah, didn't get it. Roman Age Gold, there's a rather interesting news article. Seems how we've been studying the Medici Fettuccine. Finished that 700-plus page book over the weekend. What a delightful read that was. It had a bad ending, though. Had a bad ending. The Medici really went down bad in the last couple of generations. Roman Age Gold mine revived by crisis-era prices draws Astor. What's this all about? Manuel Begori? Begori? Oh, and how you pronounce his name, I don't know. Astor Gold Corporation, a Canadian company developing what it sees as Western Europe's largest untapped gold field, expects to win a mining license in 2012 for the site on Spain's northern coast, last exploited in Roman times. That's right. Wow. You see, that's what happens when gold prices start going up into the $1,800 to $1,900 range. One can actually afford to go in and open up some of these old mines, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it. The company headed by metals investor Kerry Pinkowski bought the rights to the Salave deposit in 2010, and next month will propose a 125 million euro mine project for the newly elected regional government president, Emilio Hormechi. I've got to get it down, otherwise I'm going to get chastised by our listeners. Said in a telephone interview, the previous socialist administration rejected an open-pit mine proposal. We're optimistic we can get the license with the new government in power, he said, though. And so that's the way it's going to be. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And Market Watch is showing gold coming in around 1792 as we continue to take off some more. There was quite a big, steep decline there right after the 9 o'clock, about 9:15 or thereabouts. Dropped it down from up in the $1,820 range down into the area of about 1792 where it has returned to now. Anyway, so that's enough of the articles for this morning. I think we can all appreciate the Roman gold mine. That's kind of a cool deal coming on us and at us over there. But it's going to ultimately be relatively small, about 60 tons. And this morning, SPDR Gold Shares claims to be holding 1,230.80 metric tons valued at $70 billion. So we can see a 60-ton gold mine is not all that much to talk about, but it does create jobs, and that is where you get your wealth, true wealth creation. Not, you know, more barber shops and pasta parlors, but actually true wealth creation. Anyway, let's go into this study a little bit further. We're looking at the social and the natural sciences. This is, again, out of Morris Cohen's book. Lots to be found in this book, an essay on the meaning of scientific method, reason, and nature. This originally published a long time ago in 1931, and I have the third printing, June 1931, open on my table in front of me. Rather old book. I like these old books. And here we find on page 347, so far as a science, again, means the rigorous weighing of all the evidence. Science means the rigorous weighing of all the evidence. You know, show me your facts, show me the law, and show me the evidence. We all have opinions. Opinions are kind of like elbows. We're born with more than one, and they're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. But when you get into evidence and facts and law, You kind of cut through some of that stuff, which is the true antidote for bias or prejudice. All right? A full consideration of all possible theories. That's what we do here at the home of philosophical radicalism. We dive in, we dig in, get the facts, get the black and white in our eyes, as Hal Anthony likes to say. Go in and get the facts and study it and try and figure out what we can make of all of these various and sundry social ideas. Continuing, a good deal of social and political science is thus scientific only to the extent that history is. And okay, Henry St. Simon had his historical view of his scientific view of history, and that's what we're doing. Of course, we today have a lot of historical revisionists out there, and they're diving in and exploding all the things like the Holocaust hoax and other myths and mythologies. We say the same sort of a thing back at the time of the Medici, when they exploded the position that the papacy of the Vatican, the Pope, was taking in their day, you know, completely contrary to what the original founders may have had in mind for the Christian faith. Anyway, the decretals and the donations of Constantine kind of blew that all apart, opened the door for the Renaissance and then the Reformation. But a good deal, again, of social and political science is thus scientific only to the extent that history is. So the victor goes to spoils, and the victor often writes the history. And if we can't get in and dig around, like Colonel Young did when he wrote the Medici book for that was published by Modern Library, two-volume series there, the big book. If unless you can go in and actually get to the documentation, it's pretty hard to find out what did happen in history, explode all the mythologies. When, however, we examine the nature of the general rules employed in evidence or explanation of particular facts, we notice that in the natural sciences, these rules are the objects of explicit logical or mathematical development, which makes it easier to verify them. A plus B equals C. And if somebody tells you it equals D, you need to question it. All right? Anyway, continuing, dropping down a little bit further here. While in the social sciences, they're apt to be only implicit, you know, when somebody tells you you have a mental disability and prescribes Prozac. Just kind of like an idea, not really a diagnosis. Anyway, consider, for example, the explanation of certain social phenomena as due to the gregarious or social instinct, or the explanation of other phenomena as antisocial manifestations of disruptive individualism. Here we are beating up individualism again, but of course, you know, Morris Cohen was a bit of a positivist, and the positivists are the conservatives in their days. They still are, if you want to call it conservative. But you'd have to look at the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party of England to understand that. After all, Lord Balfour was originally a conservative. If these explanations have any point, it is because we assume it to be a law. In the first case, that human beings fall in line and yield to the suggestion of others. Do you fall in line and yield to the suggestion of others? Halt! Halty! Get out of the car, punk! Up against the car. Do you fall in line and yield to the suggestions of others? And in the second case, that human beings are to some extent intractable, resent dictation, and so on. Do you kick against the pricks? Obviously, both of these general propositions are to some extent true, but the question of how we shall measure the precise extent of these seemingly opposite laws of human nature has not yet received any treatment comparable in definiteness with that accorded to the laws of physics, chemistry, or physiology. So when we walk into these buzzsaws like sociology, the queen of sciences, as coined by August Comte, when we start to understand that this cadre of super social scientists that are out there leading us along into things like man-made global warming, Darwinian evolution, and all of these various and sundry specious theories, we got a problem. We got a problem. There's no definiteness there that according to the laws of physics, you know, it was Henry St. Simon that wanted to establish Newtonian rules of gravity as being the fundamental principle upon which all other things can be based. If you go back and look at the horror in Galileo's life, of course, the Medici are very prominently featured there in his life as well. They finally gave him succor towards the end of his life and a place to hang out. They underwrote they were the patrons of a lot of the work that he did. Very interesting fellow. You can imagine at the time to realize that everything that you'd read in the Bible about the Hebrews and that illegitimate box of rocks over in the Club Med is not the center of the universe. The whole world doesn't revolve around it. Of course, you can't get that past Benjamin Netanyahu today and the 81 congressmen that are over there sticking their love messages in the wall wearing their yarmulkes. But anyway, no, it's not the center of the universe. And unfortunately, a lot of the people that study astrology and all of that, and they look at all this constellations and that, you know, well, the precession of the equinoxes, well, you know, unfortunately, it's not the center of the universe, so some of that's going to have to be set aside. It's the aim of all natural science to rise above the historical stage and to become theoretic. That is, to attain the form of a theory or a system in which all propositions are logically or mathematically connected by laws or principles. It's the aim of the natural sciences. To attain the form of a theory or a system, we come up with a theory of the world. Loose words about science being practical, experimental, and inductive cannot permanently obscure this truth made evident in the history of every branch of physics and biology. No science, for instance, can seem so hopelessly empirical and so immediately practical as chemistry, yet its whole growth through the periodic and Moseley's laws has been in the direction of a deductive system. There's two kinds of logic, you know, basically inductive and deductive. Modern theories of heredity and variation, now we're talking about evolution, are doing the same thing for biology. Clearly, some of the social sciences, for example, economics, aim at the same goal. Yet, we can also survey the history of political science, as the scholarly and genial Professor Dunning did, and come to the melancholy conclusion that 2,000 years of efforts has brought us no farther than were the Greeks of the day of Aristotle. All right? You want to find out about politics? Go back and read Aristotle's Politics. He wrote all about it. It's just like logic. You want to figure out logic? Go back to the source. Go talk to Aristotle. Read his words. Indeed, it seems that professional pride, rather than desire for scientific accuracy, makes one deny the inferiority of the social to the natural sciences. All right? Professional pride, rather than desire for scientific accuracy. And that's the problem with Al Gore. He has a lot of professional pride. He bit the bullet with the hockey stick model, and most people can't get away from that yet. The difference between the natural and the social sciences in this respect is not accidental and not readily removed by pious resolution. Continue with this a little bit further, then we're going to touch base with Henry St. Simon. Stay tuned.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, August the 29th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour, as usual, through a basket of news, rather kind of a lackluster news day. Nevertheless, we gave you some of the offerings you can find up on the Bloomberg website. All that now you can find in our OracleBroadcasting.com archives for the broadcast. Of course, you can also log on, jump into BecomeVocalLocal.com, engage in our chat room discussion there. You know, so many people may be new to the broadcast this morning. They come in and go, what's this guy talking about? And they came in for a super heaping helping of police state news, want to hear about jackboots on your throat and so on and so forth. Those are the outward signs. Those are the symptoms of a much greater disease, a super social disease, as we like to say around here. And unless we can correctly diagnose, analyze, isolate, and eradicate the disease, we're going to be stuck with more symptoms and more victims going forward, as the globalists like to say. And so we delve into all manner and sundry of things on this broadcast, things you'll never hear anyplace else. Of course, the broadcast could be more popular if I would talk about police state news and give you all the false flags of the day, but we don't do that here. I'll leave that to the other guys. Might as well. Why not? Maybe they don't have these books. I do. And so we're going to look into it a little bit deeper here, but the difference, again, between the natural and the social sciences in this respect is not accidental. And not readily removed by pious resolution. There's a lot of piety in this world. Piety. A lot of it. You can't just ask things to go away. You can't just hope things to go away. They're going to have to be addressed. And we're going to need to address them as we move forward in this decade of tyranny. In the first place, the subject matter of the social sciences is inherently more complicated in the sense that we have more variables to deal with than in physics or biology. Again, think about sociology from this on this wise, something that I came up to while I was steeped in reading August Comte and Henry St. Simon 5 years ago, 7 years now, I guess. But if we can think of this as putting man into a petri dish and slipping him underneath a high-powered telescope and making man the object of social and scientific inquiry, it might help us a little bit more than to understand the current events. All right? Think about this from the standpoint of the GIS, GPS, global governance system. Think about this from the standpoint of your cell telephones tracking you and tracing you wherever you go. Think about it from the standpoint of your OnStar or any of the other things that you have in your automobile, in your boat, in your airplane or whatever that tracks you around. Boy, it helps you though, doesn't it? It helps you. Look, hey, look out. Look out. There's a roadblock up ahead. And look, they're loading all the people onto trains. Well, no, you're not going to get that from OnStar, but they might just shut your ignition off at some point in the journey. I can do that, you know. But if we can understand this idea of the GIS, GPS, global governance system, we can think about it from the standpoint of the news sphere, going back to Teal Hartley Chardin. We can think about it from the standpoint of things like smart meters, and the rise of the techno-totalitarian state. And then maybe we can understand why it might be important to look at the social sciences, sociology being the queen of sciences. You don't think that Edward Bernays was ignorant of these topics, do you? If you know how to insert the little key and wind it up, why, you can get the chimpanzee people to do whatever you want. You can have them walk around in circles, banging a drum, waving a flag, and wearing red and white striped jackets. You can. So we look at this a little bit more carefully. In the first place, the subject matter of the social science is inherently more complicated. Then think about the Census Bureau and having the senseless people in your neighborhood databasing and tracking and tracing you.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Hey, as we talk about George Orwell's 1984, but one I like much better than that is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited, where on his book, there in this little paperback on page 25, it reads on this wise, "The current social ethic, it is obvious, is merely a justification after the fact of the less desirable consequences of over-organization." Do you feel a little bit over-organized today? Some of this over-organization, all the different agencies, the alphabet soup of the agencies stumbling over each other, everybody clamoring for a little piece of your life, a little piece of your paycheck. That's right. It represents a pathetic attempt to make a virtue of necessity, to extract a positive value from an unpleasant datum. It is very unrealistic and therefore very dangerous system of morality. What morality? The social whole, whose value is assumed to be greater than that of its component parts, that's synergy, by the way, Richard Buckminster Fuller. Again, the social whole, whose value is assumed to be greater than that of its component parts, is not an organism in the sense that a hive or a termitary may be thought of as an organism. Of course, you go up and look at the United Nations beast system, and you'll see from the secretariat, the heads, Ban Ki-moon, and all the way down, it's a whole cadre of super social science. It's an organism. It's a beast. It's based upon physiology. It's all the organs and bodies. And then all of the non-governmental organizations, little NGOs, those are like your sleeper cells out in the community. But again, it may be thought of as an organism. It is merely an organization, a piece of social machinery. You have very little to do with the building of it, but you are part of the oil that this social machinery runs on. There can be no value except in relation to life and awareness. An organization is neither conscious nor alive, although they say today that corporations are people and they can vote. An organization is neither conscious nor alive. Its value is instrumental and derivative. It is not a good in itself. It is good only to the extent that it promotes the good of the individuals who are the parts of the collective whole. You know, how's Lloyd Blankfein and Mr. Cohen and Jamie Dimon stacking up on this one? You know, Peter D. Sutherland. Huh? To give organizations precedence over persons is to subordinate ends to the means, subordinating the end to the means. To give organizations precedence or precedence over persons. What happens when ends are subordinated to means was clearly demonstrated by Hitler and Stalin. Stalin. Under their hideous rule, that's questionable. Under their hideous rule, certainly Joseph Stalin and his war of extermination, 1941-1945, under their hideous rule, personal ends were subordinated to organizational means by a mixture of violence and propaganda, systematic terror, and the systematic manipulation of minds. Why, it sounds like the United States, doesn't it? Sure does. In the more proficient dictatorships of tomorrow, that would be today, there will probably be much less violence than under a Hitler or a Stalin. Very little violence going on in America as we have been enslaved and enchained. The future dictator subjects will be painlessly regimented by a core of highly trained social engineers, you see. Working from Aldous Huxley here, saying virtually the same thing in a very positivistic way of our Mr. Cohen. Again, this is just a reiteration of the words of Auguste Comte. And, of course, Auguste Comte was systematizing the words and thinkings of Henry St. Simon, and now we're all the way back to 1776 and the War for Independence. The future dictator subjects will be painlessly regimented by a core of highly trained social engineers. The challenge of social engineering in our time, quote unquote, writes an enthusiastic advocate of this new science, quote, is like the challenge of technical engineering 50 years ago. So at one time in America, we were building bridges and dams, and now all we have are a bunch of dam bridge builders, rainbow people, etc. Anyway, if the first half of the 20th century was the era of technical engineers, the second half may well be the era of the social engineer. We can't find any. Well, there's a few engineers out there today, but most of them are social engineers. And the 21st century, I suppose, will be the era of the world controllers. The scientific caste system and Brave New World. To the question of who mounts guard over our guardians, who will engineer the engineers, the answer is a bland denial that they need any supervision. There seems to be a touching belief among certain PhDs in sociology that PhDs in sociology will never be corrupted by power. Like Sir Galahad, their strength is as the strength of 10, because their heart is pure. and their heart is pure because they are scientists and have taken 6,000 hours of social studies. Prescient, Mr. Huxley. I really do like Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited better than his prior work, Brave New World, or 1984. But anyway, back to our discussion here. Looking at this, again, clearly some of the social sciences, for example, economics, aim at the same goal, dropping down. In the second place, there is the subjective difficulty of maintaining scientific detachment in the study of human affairs. It's kind of hard to separate yourself. It's kind of hard to think of, unless you're a Dick Cheney, you know, just a bunch of stupid, dumb animals fit for slaughter, right? It's kind of hard to detach yourself, you know, when you're thinking about people and you're just a people yourself and you go home at the end of the day and you wish you had more money in your pay stub at the end of the month. But anyway, the difference between, well, in the second place, there is a subjective difficulty of maintaining scientific detachment in the study of human affairs. Few human beings can calmly and with equal fairness consider both sides of a question such as socialism, free love, or birth control. Opinions on these matters are not viewed with the ethical neutrality with which we view opinions as to the structure of protoplasm, the ether, the atom, etc. Emotional attachment to views which we habitually honor and repugnance towards those views that good people are taught to despise hinder free scientific inquiry. And so we can roll back to the time of the Medici. As they were sending their agents, you know, they were international bankers. They had not only the opportunity but the motive, but they sent their agents all over the world to gather up all of the writings of the ancients and gather up all of the artwork from Egypt and elsewhere and bring it all to Florence, Italy. And what a treasure trove they left for us there. But anyway, excuse me. Emotional attachment to the views, a lot of emotional attachment to the teachings of the church at a time when the Renaissance was happening and free thinkers started to emerge. Some people had to pay for their thoughts and their writings with their lives burned at the stake or drawn and quartered or otherwise horrendously destroyed. And we'll be right back. We'll continue with this a bit further. Then we're going to go into perhaps a little legal positivism and then into Henry St. Simon.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So rather than dithering around, on a bunch of pabulum, you know, where this is not a regurgitorium, there's a lot of repetition out there. Try to get a little bit more heady, trying to diagnose if we can isolate this disease, this super social disease that has certainly beset not only we, the people of this country, but also peoples of the world. All right, real problems laying out there. And a lot of it has to do with some of the science that we base our thought on. But for the progress of science always depends upon our questioning the plausible, the respectably accepted, and the seemingly self-evident. You know, we think about things like 9/11. Here we are just days away from the 10th anniversary. I don't know whether we should call it an anniversary. That's kind of the wrong use of words. The 10th remembrance of the live-burning sacrifice visited upon the high places of New York City. And the tragedy over Shanksville, Pennsylvania would perhaps be a better way of looking at it as we continue to question what has been given to us by NIST. But again, the progress of science always depends upon our questioning the plausible. And we need to be good students here of history. We need to be good students of science. We have to question the plausible, the respectably accepted, and the seemingly self-evident. Hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator by certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These self-evident truths. With regard to physical, this difficulty is present in a measure when social honor attaches to the holding of certain opinions on physical issues. Social honor attaches to the holding of certain opinions. Do you hear these guys in the mainstream media, you know, and even in the alternative media, holding on to these memes, these things that have been floated out there, reluctant to dig in and examine them more carefully? This difficulty is present in a measure when social honor attaches to the holding of certain opinions on physical issues, e.g. the Ptolemaic astronomy, or the theory of special creation. With regard to physical questions, however, the fact that it requires elaborate training to follow them has taught the more intelligent part of the public some humility and the wisdom of suspending judgment. A little bit of, you know, humble pie helps. And withhold that judgment until you're really sure. How can you say you believe a thing when you understand that belief without evidence is just hearsay? But how can one admit ignorance on a social question on which everyone else has a confident opinion? How can one admit ignorance on a social question on which everyone else has a confident opinion? That's right, friends. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews. They gassed them all. Birkenau and Auschwitz. How can one admit ignorance on a social question on which everyone else has a confident opinion? Confidence. One is tempted to say, to paraphrase a remark of Bertrand Russell, that the reason that social scientists do not more often arrive at the truth is that they frequently do not want to. We've spoken in the past of the legal terms willful oblivion, voluntary ignorance. Is there something in your life that you're voluntarily ignorant about? Don't show me that. Don't tell me those things. I can't believe that. The reason social scientists do not more often arrive at the truth is that they frequently do not want to. Or perhaps they were paid not to, as the NIST case. The desire to attain the truth is, after all, a late and relatively undeveloped human motive compared with the more vital and voluminous motives of social approval. Why, it's just not socially acceptable to act that way, Will. How can you hold these views? How can you come on the radio and speak with confidence with these views? All right? That's not socially acceptable. That's not politically correct to say Negro in public. Because it is thus impossible to eliminate human bias in matters in which we are vitally interested, some sociologists have banished from their program all questions of value and have sought to restrict themselves to the theory of social happenings. This effort to look upon human actions with the same ethical neutrality with which we view geometric figures is admirable. And so we're driving down the highway and we see some poor chap ripped out of his car being tased to death alongside the road. And we drive by and go, nice weather, isn't it, Martha? Oh, yes, Ben. What a nice day it is in America. Well, there's a lot to that. But some of this has to do with how it is translated. Positivism has insinuated its way into our legal system. Of course, the way I like to start all of this is where I started all of this so long ago on June the 30th after midnight, July the 1st of what was it, 2004 or 2005, when I got this profound thought, two parts. There is an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. And that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated, privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. What is this legal positivism? Back in a new legal positivism and morality, as long as we're speaking about morality here, by Anthony J. Seebach, we find this new legal positivism coming on us and at us here. The defense of Hart against Dworkin's attack marked the beginning of the last stage in the development of capital N new, capital L legal, capital P positivism between when? 1972 and 1977. The emergence of the new legal positivism, not the classical legal positivism of old, where we simply say it this way, that whatever the prince says has the force and effect of law, but no. There's this new system of legal positivism, and it infects our entire legal system, as it does. Let's go into this a little bit further here. Again, between these two groups of positivists, now wait a minute, this is a brand new book. I thought we were talking about ancient history. No, positivism is alive and well. Between these two groups of positivism, the positivists, they didn't say socialist or communist or fascists, they said positivists. Between these two groups of positivists, there was a deep divide, not over whether the rules of recognition could include principles as well as rules, but over whether the rule of recognition could make a morality a condition of legality. Can we make morality a condition of legality? Could we say that abortion can never be lawful in that we are prescribed against murder? But that it could be legal. Could we make a rule of recognition, make morality a condition of legality? Well, we haven't had much morality lately. Ross's view would come to be identified with non-incorporationism. Now, this is a heavy book, okay? I can only share bits of it. Ross's view of non-incorporationism is based on his interpretation of the sources thesis. And in, for all of you that study legal positivism, the source's thesis is very important. A jurisprudential theory is acceptable only if it tests for identifying the content of the law and determining its existence depend exclusively on facts of human behavior capable of being described in a value-neutral term and applied without resort to moral arguments. Have you ever wondered why it is that our legal system seems to be devoid of morality? Well, that's because they've become legal positivists. That is to say, Ross stressed that legal norms may not also be moral norms. So even though it may be legal, it may not be moral. Or though it might be moral, it may be illegal. Like selling lemonade in the sunshine at a stand in your front yard. We'll be right back.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again taking a look at this new legal positivism and morality, a section out of a book by Anthony Seebach, Legal Positivism in American Jurisprudence. Just some brief quotes here. But the emphasis, oh, let's go back. The first is a functional argument in that Raz thought that the source's thesis captures a truth about how law functions in everyday life. Now, this is rather heady material, I grant you that. The sources of a law are those facts by virtue of which it is valid and which identify its content. I'll say that again. The sources of a law are those facts by virtue of which it is valid and which identify its content. You know, they weren't quoting the Declaration or the amendments, you know. They're not talking about the Constitution here. This is legal positivism. Welcome to the new world of Henry St. Simon. But the emphasis is on the word fact. A source must be something that can be validated without resort to moral argument. There's no morality anymore, you know, profit good, loss bad. Get with it. Come up to speed. If the function of the law is to facilitate, quote, various patterns of forbearance, cooperation, and coordination in society, right? If the function of law is to facilitate, now they're telling you what the function of law is, to facilitate, you know, these facilitators, the bronze men, yeah, consensus meetings. If the function of the law is to facilitate various patterns of forbearance, cooperation, and coordination in society, then law must provide publicly ascertainable ways of guiding behavior and regulating aspects of social life. Austin's command theory to the social rule theory presupposes that law can be identified without even the aid of a sovereign's threat and dropping down. Raz argued that he would not recognize this as a legal system because every legal system must have limits. A legal system of absolute discretion is unrecognizable to us. A legal system of absolute discretion, of course it was August Comte that said, everything is relevant. There are no absolutes, and this is very prevalent in the writings of the positivist. Raz drew a connection between our resistance to the idea of absolute judicial discretion and the sources thesis, quote, if the courts do not have absolute discretion to act on whichever standard seems to them the best, this can only be because they are bound to follow some standards even if they do not regard them as the best. According to Raz, the only way to guide discretion is to ensure that it is never based upon the interpretation of moral principle. And it gets more intriguing as it goes deeper into that discussion. Let's talk about Henry St. Simon. The physiology of social causes. You see how we can leap from century to century and we're still right on the same thing going down here? When St. Simon's writings, this is chapter 21 in his book, this is not his book, this is written by Frank Emanuel, it's a Notre Dame publication, The New World of Henry St. Simon, all right, this was published in 1963. When St. Simon's writings are divested of their polemical character as restoration political pamphlets and of the pseudo-scientific twaddle into which he lapsed on occasion, there remains a theory of man and society based on professional or occupational class stratification. Status, strata, occupation, professions, you know, the Medici. They were a member of the guild, the bankers' guild. Guilds, this idea of the great, you know, sandstone wall of life where a man goes up in there and he carves himself out a niche and he walls himself in with specialized knowledge or ability. The Medici were masters at working with wool and later ceramics. And they had quite the thriving international trade. They were also involved with providing financing and banking services to, not necessarily in the same terminology we use today, banking services to foreign governments, you know, loaning money and collecting and handling the contributions, the titties of the papacy, the Pope. Anyway. Underlying the theory were a number of simple preconceptions which he never stopped to analyze because they were the cornerstones of his system, and like most fundamental assumptions, they were blithely taken for granted. You know, as Aristotle says, such as you begin badly, you cannot help but to end badly. And so in St. Simon's life, if his philosophies and his polities and his religion were based on weak ground, then, you know, if you start in an error, it doesn't make any difference how many more zeros you add after the decimal point, you're still wrong, okay? The most important single postulate implicit in the doctrine is that class defined the nature of a man, his social action, his whole destiny. Class. Now, some people don't have any class. Some people got a lot of class. Some people are high class people. But there's a lot of truth in this that it says, this doctrine that class defined the nature of a man. Sometimes it's almost impossible to get out of your class. My dad worked at the coal mine. My grandpa worked at the coal mine. I work at the coal mine. And my son brings me my lunch pail. And someday he'll work at the coal mine too. Of all that could be said of a man, the definition of his class personality was the most revelatory description. This low-class bum. There were conditions under which an individual might slough off the skin of his class, but such an emancipation was the exception, not the norm, in human behavior. And so, the Medici sloughed off the garments of their prior class and rose themselves up through generations, intergenerational wealth accumulation and power accumulation, and raised themselves up from men in the wool trade to king of Florence. Class membership meant acting out a social role in terms of an occupation or profession. Let's say you become an engineer or an architect, an artist, a hairdresser, a masseuse, whatever. You begin then to act out this occupation. It becomes your role. It's the role you play in life. Oh, I'm a talk radio host. And so everywhere you go, you exude this talk radio host mentality and persona. And everyone starts to think of, well, he's a radio guy. Well, in a crisis society, isn't that interesting? In a crisis society, the one in which St. Simon was living, see, he was living in a crisis society in their time. We're living in a crisis society today, even though most of the crisis is developed for us by FEMA. Class membership was influenced by a variety of unnatural, extraneous factors, such as birth status and inherited wealth. And if we find anything in the study of the history of the Medici from their beginning to their last, we find that this birth status and this class that they got, the inherited wealth, didn't always translate over to a good thing. In the good society of the future, unlike this chaotic transitional epoch, class would be determined overwhelmingly by innate capacity or aptitude, which in the language of the day he considered physiological in origin. And so we have a lot of that today. You can see it in public schools. Everyone can play. Everyone can win. Whether you can ever make a basket or not, you can play on the basketball team. It's okay. Everyone plays. Everyone wins. Shoot. Shoot another basket. Try it again. Okay? In the good society of the future, class would be determined overwhelmingly by innate capacity or aptitude. Interesting use of the words there. In the language of the day, he considered physiological in origin. And in other words, anybody, George Washington Carver comes up with the peanut, anybody could advance their station in life based on their capacity. And so we read in Agenda 21 all about capacity building and the transfer of technologies from developed countries to developing countries. We're going to make a great effort to make sure that the Africans have chimneys for their wood stove so they don't kill themselves with the wood stove inside the house. Sometimes it takes other people to help you to see the idea and the wisdom of a chimney. Anyway, classes had history. In the past, they had experienced life cycles from birth through death. And what an excellent example we can find in the Medici, their birth cycle from birth through death. in the course of hundreds of years. And of course, then they were followed by the Fuggers, and then the Fuggers followed by the Rothschilds. Anyway, these class natures were not absolutely static. They had undergone some modification with time. They were altered as they passed through the various stages of the life cycle. And again, we talk about these three stages of man's development, absolutely fundamental to their history here. At the height of the maturity, their maturity and dominion, classes divined an organic civilization. Well, we'll carry that thought right after this.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So closing out the day with this physiology of the social classes as we continue our inquiry into positivism. What does it mean? Where did it come from? How did it start? How does it impact us today? Interesting stuff to me. Maybe it is to you as well. At the height of their maturity and dominion, classes defined an organic civilization since the ruling class set its imprint upon the whole of society. You know, you go back and you read the histories. And the histories and the encyclopedias are largely about whom? About that ruling class. about the best of the best, the finest horses, the best plans, the best men. I don't get a lot of detail on the guys that were schlepping along, toting that bale and digging that ditch. They're the ones that actually made the aqueduct, but, you know, the architect sitting under his tarp, you know, he's the guy that designed it. To know the character of society, it was necessary only to inquire into the basic drives of its ruling class. To know the character of a society was necessary only to inquire into the basic drives of its ruling class. What's ruling this country today? Bunch of stuff suits. Bunch of airheads, largely. Bunch of greedy bastards. Yeah, a lot of that. Immoral. And these basic drives were readily discernible because historic man had formulated idea systems which expressed what the classes in power desired in the world. When you study history, what you're seeing is an outward manifestation of the ideas that were expressed through power desired in the world of their times. And so, Medici built their port facility at Leghorn, and they created an international city. It was a y'all come place, man. Y'all come. They were really liberal in their thinking. They were free thinkers. They were on the cutting edge of thought in their time. None ever surpassed them, by the way, while they lived. Dropping down a little bit further here, the unit for the expression of self-interest was not the ego, as the 18th century moralists had claimed, but was some kind of a core or class endowed with a complete set of anthropomorphic characteristics. The class sought its own aggrandizement and expansion, for that was in the nature of things. The class fought, was victorious, was defeated, rebelled, was duped, deceived others, plotted, organized, taught, and produced. The class of the Medici, they were considered by others as a race, their race. Their race was born, their race died. The last one standing was a female. Anyway, other factors were subsidiary phenomena. Right? Classes were the key to Saint-Simon's philosophy of history. In its very fabric, history was the conflict of classes, and the historical process could be explained solely in these terms. So this class that we have today of the money junkies and the power mad, they're the ones that are writing history. They're the ones that are writing this chapter in history. We're living it with them, but they're writing it. I think we need to turn the shoe. Isn't it time to write a new chapter in history? Would it be possible in the next 10, 20 years for us to move into greater and greater freedom and less tyrannical and despotic control? Would it be perhaps possible for us to get off this hooked on OPM, other people's money mentality, and move into something more lofty? Would it be possible for us to stop killing one another as we go around the planet raging like a roaring lion, seeing who we can devour, whose resources we can exploit next? I think it is possible. It would certainly be desirable. Class conflict, however, was not an eternal struggle without meaning or direction, resolving itself in a mere succession of victorious classes of different natures imposing themselves on the world. That's the truth. Think about it from the standpoint of the Renaissance, and from the patronage, if you will, of the Medici, as they financed and brought up and brought forward and trained not only those skilled in the capital A arts, but also those skilled in the capital L learning. But those skilled in the arts, you can go in and study from art history, and you're going to find people who were hired and basically maintained by the Medici in all of the great galleries of the world, especially in Florence. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Donatello, Boccaccio or whatever, Pinocchio and Doccio, and all the rest of those Italian kind of people. Man, I'm ready for some fettuccine. How about you? Anyway, the whole history of class, again, was a process leading toward an ultimate goal, a golden age. The triumph of the Industrial Scientific Society, a timeless world of terrestrial happiness, brotherly love, and ever more production of the goods which would give pleasure to all members of the society. And that's what we call sustainable development, sustaining the environmental and developmental concerns with your money and mine. This idea of raising everybody in the whole world, bringing up everyone's standard of living. Of course, no one ever really thought that one through. You think we have trouble now with Western Europeans and North Americans living in the lap of luxury. Can you imagine if we were to try and raise up the entire planet that way? Well, there wouldn't be enough rubber to go around. And lots of other things. We come up short on a lot of things. We have to change our entire system. And that's what they're trying to do. But they're really not interested in improving delivery and design. What they're really interested in doing is population reduction. You can have a utopia if you've only got five guys, provided that four of them are weaker than the fifth, and the fifth one is the utopianist. Anyway, kind of a tough situation there. If there were no lawyer class, there would be no cunning. I love that line. They are a race unto themselves, you know, those lawyers. If there were no lawyer class, there would be no cunning. With the passing of the military, warlike instincts would disappear. With the elimination of the metaphysicians, the passion for abstraction would die. Would die. What would it be like to live in a world with no military? What would it be like to live in a world with no lawyers? What would it be like to live in a world with no commercial and investment bankers, no speculators? What would that be like? The age of the revolution was an ideal historical locus for the development of a class theory of this character. And then he continues and he talks more about that. Let's jump ahead a little bit. Class, as the central concept in Saint-Simon's analysis of contemporary political society, stripped off the facade of parties and bared the genuine framework beneath. He signaled out the creative political elements in the nation, condemned those who were attempting to divert the course of history, discerned the real class interests behind the barrage of party verbiage, and demonstrated the urgency of social action. Saint Simon's depiction of Restoration France as a class society and its categorization of the classes and subclasses was a novel type of stratification that was not mirrored in the relationships and the noisy antagonisms of the political arena. His efforts to disassociate the apparent from the real, the superficial from the fundamental, the permanent from the transitory, led him to a profound understanding of the inner workings and movements of modern European industrial society. And of course, he coined that term, industrial. Finally, Saint Simon's class theory provided him with an ideology and an organizational plan for the new leading. He would no longer say ruling classes of industrial scientific regime. The new organic epoch, we would no longer have rulers, only leaders. He envisioned the society of the future not as a classless society, but as an ideal order based on natural classes determined by capacity, with each capacity finding its proper and essential place in the great national workshop. This much in the class doctrine of Saint Simon is fairly constant throughout his life. So what would that be like? Not having any more rulers, not having any more potentates or impotentates as we have today. Having people that lead. Leadership is, you know, we could say that leaders are not born, they're made. Leadership is not necessarily going to come to you if you're well born. Leaders are made. They're made out of the circumstance of life, the circumstance of their era or their age, the circumstances. Leaders are people who know how to find a need and fill it. They're the entrepreneurs of this world, and perhaps we need to look for better leadership. That's all for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at OracleBroadcasting.com.